Hey there, everybody. It is June the 1st, 2011, and you are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken, and I am joined this week by Jen. Hi, Jen.
Hi.
And her lovely partner, Steve.
Hi, Ken.
I feel like sometimes people go in the opposite direction, and that's not the way it should go. It should
what
be
do you mean?
Jen
Gender-wise.
And her lovely partner, Steve.
Right. I'm happily partnered to this person over here.
Lovely.
Yeah.
She brings sunshine. I wrote
she
that to you on Facebook.
She certainly does. Yes. She's
did
known
you hear
for
that.
I did.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So I have not done a new This Show Is So Gay in, it's been like 4 or 5 weeks at this point, since we last sat here and talked to Zoe Lewis.
Insane. Yeah. Oh, that was nice.
Long that was
time
nice.
Ago. We played Zoe Lewis at home.
Did you?
Yes. Thank
you. Do you like
for
your
CD.
New? So, not that I
no,
burned
that,
anything.
That you bought for us and yeah.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah. I love editing. How long is the longest you've gone without doing Live and Local with Steve West from 9 to noon on WKVT in
probably,
Brattleboro?
Oh, thank you for saying.
No
oh,
problem.
Streaming on, oh, not streaming online. It's probably a week is most I think I've ever done without in the 5 years I've been doing it.
This is so weird. So,
it is a weird
like
thing.
I haven't been here in
then
a while.
Then I heard other people doing my show, which was really peculiar.
Oh, that's
so
bizarre.
I know.
You make a point of listening when you're not on?
No, but like I remember I was driving out of town. We were supposed to go skiing or something, and I heard somebody else, and I was like, it's just peculiar, but you know, I got over it. So.
I haven't had that experience yet. We have so much gay news. We're not going to try to catch up on 5 weeks of gay news. That would be ridiculous.
Impossible.
We're just going to do of the moment. Of the moment. So one of the biggest, I don't know if you heard this, one of the biggest political pundits out there right now, Miley Cyrus. I don't know why you're giggling. Did you hear about Miley Cyrus?
No, I haven't been keeping
up. I'm being serious, folks. Miley Cyrus has blasted. Now, do you guys know Urban Outfitters?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay, it's a store where you can buy things.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
They don't have commercials on a TV, which is this box-like thing where you can watch shows.
Yeah, these I've heard of.
So do you shop at the Urban Outfitters?
For a while.
Not for a while?
No. Well, I used to live in Harvard Square, work in Harvard Square, and there was a big one right down there. I think that was the first one. So I'm familiar with it.
I will just say, I enjoy the Urban Outfitters.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Many people know I would furnish my entire house with Urban Outfitters. I enjoy it. But the big thing that came out this week is that the CEO, the head guy of Urban Outfitters, has been giving many, many thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars to Rick Santorum.
Oh, my.
Yes. So Miley Cyrus took to the Twitter sphere, which is apparently not a place, but it's online.
It's an attitude, Ken.
It's a state of mind. And I don't know. There's so many abbreviations here. I don't really understand what she wrote. But she took him to task and said, really was encouraging people to boycott Urban Outfitters.
I see.
Now, this guy is apparently, he gives to anti-gay candidates. He gives to the top Republican candidates, which are often the same.
Funny.
Yeah. So the question for you two is, what information do you need to boycott a store? So what's a store that you shop? The co-op.
Ooh,
do you shop at the co-op often?
Yes, we do, yeah.
You're at the co-op.
Yeah.
What would be a deal breaker for you with the co-op?
By
the way, we like to support the Brattleboro co-op, and they're very enjoyable.
Yeah, we do, and have consistently. That's a difficult one. I'll tell you the truth. There were issues around labor that happened at the co-op a number of years ago that was almost enough for me to start walking away from that.
Yeah.
And, you know, still there's a part of me that feels maybe I should have on one level. On another, I think there's so much good that the co-op brings. So the point, to answer your point, I think you're looking for the more generalized point, is when it's a fundamental value, you know, it's like if an individual person within a company does something I don't like, oh, so be it. But if the person that represents the company behaves in certain ways, I vote with my dollars pretty consistently. And whether it's a boycott or not, I simply don't provide money to people whose behavior I don't abide.
So now this is the weird thing about Urban Outfitters.
Yeah.
You just hit the nail on the head. Yes. So the CEO head guy, whose name I don't even have in front of me because I don't really care, he's giving money and he's clearly supporting anti-gay candidates.
Mm-hmm.
Urban Outfitters merchandise, they had this very pro-Obama t-shirt. They had this very anti-Prop 8 t-shirt that they were selling. Very, I think this one blog said their customers are very liberal, usually young or older people who are dressing younger than they should. But sorry that I'm not giving a shout out to that blog. I don't remember, but that line stuck with me. But their merchandise does further an agenda of equality.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I should say they also are in a lot of trouble, Urban Outfitters, because apparently they steal local artist designs. But whatever. The point is that you can get the anti-Prop 8 shirt. So it's very confusing about. So do you go with, as you just said, if The board of directors dude from the co-op is giving money to candidates who you fundamentally disagree with on pure values levels. Do you then boycott the co-op?
The co-op is a tough one for me because
you're devoted.
I'm pretty devoted.
A true believer.
And do you do your member hours?
I do my member hours. And there's not a great alternative to the co-op.
There are.
So
that's
that is a
good
tough
point.
Example.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Urban Outfitters, there's other alternatives.
We could make our clothes.
Yeah. Well, that too.
But the other thing is, and let me add, that, and I don't want to get too philosophical about it, but it's, I mean, how do you problem solve? How do you, when you have a conflict with somebody, what do? You, is there an automatic punitive measure that has to happen, or is there an opportunity to address it in some healthy way? I know many times I've tried to address things and gotten back like, I can't swear on your show, can I?
Nope.
You know, I've been rebuffed, let's say, handily. Yeah. So, and it doesn't often work out that way. But in a case like this, if the company is trying, either for marketing reasons or other reasons, trying to be pretty, how shall I say, more open than many companies, and they happen to have a guy at the helm who's sort of a doink, that's a lot of other people making clothes and doing clothes and supplying clothes and making good decisions. So he's a doink. Usually doinks rise to the top, as it were. Ooh, that could get. There's a lot of suggestive stuff.
A lot. And I'm just going to move on. So if you have an opinion, are you guys going to boycott Urban Outfitters out there? Drop us an email at thisshowissogay@AOL.com. So we do have a guest coming up. So I'll give you a choice of topics before we talk to our guest. And then the other one we'll talk about after. Would we like to talk about proms or President Obama? Proms or President Obama?
Well, let's start with Obama.
Wow,
see, I was going to say proms. Go figure.
I'm going with Jen. So we'll start with Obama. So this is really confusing. Now, you talk about President Obama on Live and Local with Steve West, 9 to 12 in the morning.
Yes, with some frequency.
You do. Now, I'm really conflicted right now about President Obama. So there's so many different things going on at the same time. So I'm going to give you the really quick overview of all these different President Obama stories that are all today. So number one, the Human Rights Campaign, which is one of the biggest, along with the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, is one of the biggest organizations out there lobbying for LGBT equality. They have already announced that they are supporting Barack Obama for re-election in 2012. And it's sparking mixed reactions. So they announced this today, yesterday, very, very recently. Mm. And so some people one guy from the Democratic National Committee said, quote, that it is a clear sign that the president has fought for LGBT rights across the country. But editor John Aravosis, editor of America Blog, said that the Human Rights Campaign should have held out until the president accomplished more for gay rights, while the log cabin Republicans, gay Republicans, feel that the endorsement, quote, sends the wrong message to a Republican candidate who may want to reach out to the gay community in next year's election, end quote. I actually kind of agree.
So do I.
Okay, good. So I don't understand why this had to happen now, except that I know this is not a video blog, but if it were a video blog, I would have some graphic of money signs, dollar signs going up. So that's the one. Now we have President Obama then today has this really long, he made a really long declaration on, the White House issued a statement in advance of Gay Pride Month declaring LGBT rights to be human rights and not just. So, okay, that would be one story if he was just declaring LGBT rights to be human rights. But it's a very long statement that I won't read. It also recaps President Obama's efforts at advancing equality here and abroad. So there are he's doing two things. Mm. You know, he's definitely saying, oh, and look at what I've done. Mm-hmm. And then the last story, President Obama's story, is that just today, it really enumerating past accomplishments from the substantive to the symbolic, the Obama administration launched today an LGBT-specific page on the White House website to coincide with the first day of LGBT Pride Month, which is today. Happy Pride Month, by the way.
Oh,
Happy Pride Month. Thank you.
It's very exciting. So it's got all of his different accomplishments, but I don't know. Perhaps because I'm a gay Jew from Jersey, I'm feeling very cynical about all this. I want to feel like he's saying, he's touting, what was the first statement? That he's saying that LGBT rights are human rights. But I am feeling like, all right, but we are launching into re-election mode and this is to get the gay vote.
Yeah, then there's an element of cynicism to electoral politics. I mean, it is, you are a block. You are a demographic and an important one to a Democratic presidential candidate.
If this was last year, I would feel completely different.
Mm.
Right. If this was this time last year.
No, it's a little cynical for sure. And it's pragmatic, it sounds like.
And if I were a Republican, I would absolutely agree that, well, wait a second. Why would I even bother courting the LGBT vote when I haven't even declared my candidacy yet? And I haven't declared my candidacy for the Republican nomination for president. And already one of the biggest organizations out there has declared their support for President Obama without even hearing what other people. And there's some other great stories that we're not going to get to about some Republicans across the country who are starting various efforts to get marriage equality in their state. So this whole, I don't know, I just feel like HRC is saying no matter who else it is, President Obama is the best choice for LGBT Americans.
Yeah, and it sort of negates the rest of the time. You
then what's the point? Yeah. Well, then let's vote now for either President Obama or other.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's my feelings
also,
about
it,
all this.
Leaves
I don't
no,
like it.
It leaves no incentive or it doesn't wet the whistle for other candidates or President Obama himself to step up and be a little bit more courageous.
I was on a show last week. I was interviewed by a great, great show, Reality Check, out in Michigan. Mm. Out in Michigan. It's on WPRR. And that's what we talked about. We talked about President Obama. And I think for the first year and a half, when we talked about President Obama on this show, I was pretty down on him. And then I was kind of coming around when we talked about this last week of, oh, well, actually, he has done a lot. He really has done a lot. Yeah. He's had to correct so much of the injustice of the past that I'm not surprised we're not further along than we are. But
if this was more of a political show, I'd love to gain more evidence that would allow me to feel better about the president.
You should go to this LGBT page on the White House, whitehouse.gov, and it's got
I get that there's some accomplishments. Nobody could do nothing, and I appreciate that he may have been well-intended, but there have been so many things that so eclipse those things to me in terms of basic human rights, in terms of basic fairness, in terms of trillions of dollars and what's done with them. It just makes all this stuff spit in the ocean to me. Really.
So I should be fair because I try to be fair and balanced on this show. Some of his accomplishments, signing Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal into law, declaring Section 3 of the Defense of Marriage Act unconstitutional, inviting LGBT families to the annual Easter egg roll. I don't really think that that's really what
that's
we're hanging our hat
mister.
On. But that's what they're touting. and awarding the Medal of Freedom to LGBT trailblazers Billie Jean King and the late Harvey Milk. They should also have on their signing the Matthew Shepard Act, which I think is a little bit more significant than the
awards
Easter
are nice
egg
and everything. And the Easter.
Just saying. All right. Yeah. We are going to welcome a guest, but we are going to play a song first that,
are you sure?
That almost could push this show into being straight because it really is that gay of a song.
Unthinkable.
I think it's time to welcome a guest. Jen and Steve, you ready to welcome a guest?
We sure are, Ken.
Guest, that was good. Guest, are you ready to be welcomed?
I am ready.
I'm telling you, one day the guest is going to say no, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. All right, let me introduce you. Mark Bessinger co-founded a horror film production company called Black Flamingo Pictures, and that's B-L-A-K-K, in case you want to look it up, but we'll link to it on our site. And he is about to release his first film, Bite Marks, which he wrote, directed, and produced. The film is starting to hit the festival circuit. He's been featured in Fangoria, Big Daddy Horror Reviews, and other horror publications. He's working on his next horror film. I'm not going to lie, Steve and Jen, I'm a little scared of him, a little intimidated by Mark, but that doesn't mean that we don't welcome him with open, slightly outstretched arms. Mark Bessinger, welcome to This Show Is So Gay.
Thank you.
How the heck are you?
I'm the heck good. Doing really well, thanks.
Fantastic. We have so much to talk about. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Well, let's start, as we start with all of our artists, by taking a step back a little bit and looking at your medium. With all the various art forms out there, Mark, why the medium of film?
I've just always been enamored by film ever since I was a little kid. I've loved movies. I've loved going to movies. I've just been a movie fanatic. I collect films in every medium they ever came out on, starting with Super 8 to VHS to Laserdisc to DVD to Blu-ray. I just love the medium. I love being able to use visuals and sound and audio to tell a story and manipulate an audience and generate various emotions and try to get a group of people to share an experience and have a fun reaction to what they're seeing and hearing. I love the movies.
Nice. I love the movies too.
As do I.
Oh, good. Jen?
Me too.
All right. Last good movie you saw, Steve?
Ooh, what did we just watch?
Oh, yeah. The Dharma Brothers.
Oh, it's a documentary about taking Vipassana meditation into an Alabama prison.
Anyway, so Mark.
slightly different note.
Welcome to the show, Mark. So I read in the Big Daddy Horror Review that there might be some significance for you with the movie Revenge of the Creature.
Yes.
I don't even know what that movie is. I was going to make a joke that I watch it every Tuesday night, but I don't even know it, Mark.
Well, I'm a horror movie buff, and I've loved horror films. It's my favorite genre of the movies, and that was kind of the first horror movie I ever saw, and it was the one that really snagged me. When I was in the first grade, my mom also liked horror films, and you know, I would come home from school and usually catch whatever the end of whatever she was watching on the afternoon movie, and I came home one day, and she was watching this movie called Revenge of the Creature, which was the first sequel to the classic film Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Oh, okay.
And I got there just in time to see the creature jump out of this holding tank, and from then on, I was just hooked. I loved horror films ever since that moment.
But why?
I think it's the fantasy element of it, and it's just the fact that it's the darker nature of film, and it preys on people's fears, and that's something that I've always been interested in. I love to see people get scared. I think it just amuses me to no end, and so I love it. I love to have a movie try to do that to me and see if it can succeed or not. I also look at monsters as kind of like taking the gay thing and going a few steps with it, monsters being like the ultimate outsider in society. I think it's not too big a step to take to think about being gay and persecuted to, you know, the Frankenstein monster being chased by villagers with flaming torches. I think there's an apt analogy there.
Because of the flaming? is that where we just went? Sorry. I hone in on certain words. Jen, are you a horror movie person?
Yeah, actually I am.
Are you really?
I love them. Yeah.
She does. It's true.
Steve West?
No, I don't. I don't need to be scared.
I get scared and thus do not enjoy them.
Yeah, same here.
Jen, horror movie, which one do you like?
Oh, all.
Because Mark is going to psychoanalyze you based on whatever comes out of your mouth next.
Well, what he said, the creature from the Black Lagoon, I remember that. And I remember all of the vampire movies. I love vampire movies.
Look at that.
And werewolf and mummy and, yeah, anything we could watch. Creature double feature.
Dark Shadows.
I was scared by Transylvania 6-5000. I mean, that just was really gay reference.
That's okay.
All right. So now we want to talk a ton about bite marks, but I read perhaps on Facebook, Mark, very recently, one might argue maybe 2 hours ago, that you have another topic that you would like to discuss. Now, Mark, keeping in mind that this is a family show, it's a family show, Mark, is there anything else you would like to discuss?
No.
Okay, good. Oh my gosh, in 3 years, I've never shamed a guest before. That was a first. So let's talk.
Yes, you've got me cowering.
Yay! I told him on Facebook, you're going down on this one. So for folks who have not heard of Bite Marks, give us the spiel. What's the rundown?
Well, Bite Marks is a gay-themed horror comedy about a truck driver who is sleeping with his brother's wife, who... when his brother mysteriously disappears, has to take over his truck route, which is to deliver a load of coffins to a funeral home cross country.
Okay.
Along the way, he has difficulty staying awake, so he picks up a couple hitchhikers who turn out to be a gay couple who are hitchhiking across country to try to reconnect their relation and reestablish their relationship. The truck breaks down in an abandoned junkyard, and as night falls, they find out that the coffins they've been carrying contain vampires.
Well, of course they do.
And so they have to barricade themselves in the cab of the semi-truck and try to survive the onslaught until dawn.
Wow. Where did you come up with the idea for this?
I was actually talking with a friend of mine a couple summers ago, and we were talking about how to do a horror film on a low budget, and I said that, you know, you need to keep the locations down, and to do that, you need to barricade your characters in one location to try to, try to keep that going. So I thought, well, Night of the Living Dead did their movie almost entirely inside of a farmhouse. What could I do that would be smaller and more challenging? So I thought, oh, the cab of a semi-truck. That's how can you do a whole movie in the cab of a semi-truck? And so we kind of, I kind of expanded it from that, you know, like what monsters would be after them and what avenues could they take to try to escape, and, you know, having each one thwarted, but what would be the next way to get out? What would be the next way to try to get out, you know? And how could we keep the creatures from, like, just smashing through the windows and getting them? What, you know, just little things like that. It just kind of struck me as fun to try to figure out.
Now, how many times have you seen this movie?
Oh, we were doing a 5.1 sound mix on it, so every time they would change something, I have to watch it again. So I've probably seen it about 50 times.
Now, we've had filmmakers on the show, and they've expressed varying degrees of, oh my gosh, I just can't watch this movie anymore. Where are you on that spectrum?
I'm pretty much there, too. every time I have to watch it, you know, at home, I'm just like, it's just like, oh my God, I'd rather play Russian roulette, you know. But what I like about doing it at film festivals now is you get to see it with an audience.
Yeah.
And the audience makes it completely different. You get a different reaction every time.
Are you the type of filmmaker that watches it again and says, oh, wait, I wish I had done this a little bit differently? Or are you just, do you say, no, this is done. I am 100% happy with what I did?
I think every filmmaker sees something in their product that they wish they could do over. I don't know anybody who has said, oh, this is 100% perfect. I am happy with it. I think it's a really fun movie. But, of course, yeah, there's things in it that I thought, oh, I wish we could have shot that a little differently. Mm-hmm. Or I wish, I could have punched up, thrown another joke in there or something, you know.
Now, the interviews, I've been reading the interviews, and the interviews are all, the main characters in the horror film are gay. The main characters in the horror film are gay. And on the one hand, yay, this is it's great marketing for Bite Marks. It's great for horror films. And then there's that other piece of me that has read some of these and is thinking, oh, all right, maybe dial it back a bit, folks. You know, main characters can be gay. And I'm slightly conflicted about that. And so I would like you to reconcile that for me.
Well, I'm not sure that I can. I mean, I think you're either going to have a problem with it or you're not.
Yeah.
And this movie, you know, when I went into this film and making these characters gay, I'm like, I don't want to hold anything back. I want to make a movie that is going to be R-rated, and it's going to have some nudity, and it's going to have some sex scenes, and these sex scenes are going to be done as if it were a regular sex scene between a man and a woman.
Fantastic.
In an R-rated film. And I'm not going to shoot it any differently.
Yeah.
And people are either going to be okay with that or they're not. And, you know, the sex scenes aren't real. They're not in your face, no pun intended. But
right.
There are things that just I think people are not going to be expecting. You know, I was talking to someone else who had a problem with one of my sex scenes that takes place in a men's room stall. And I said, you know, if it was a man and a woman doing exactly the same thing that you see, it would just fly right through your head. But because you're not used to seeing two guys do it, it just kind of takes you by surprise.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, you know, are the hetero 12 to 25 year olds horror fans going to dig it? No, they might have a little problem with it, but for them, I've thrown some boobs in and
oh, good.
some topless girls running around too. So there's something for everybody.
And let me be clear. I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled that you have, well, not about the boobs, but or the horror, but the gay people. I think it's fantastic. I think it's absolutely fantastic. I think I'm the little piece that I'm having a hard time reconciling is more with the interviews that some of them, it's their sole focus and it's, I guess you would have to tell us how earth-shattering that is in the horror film genre, which I'm getting the impression it actually is quite earth-shattering to have prominent gay characters in horror films.
Yeah, I believe it is. I mean, I can't think of too many other horror films that have had gay characters, but I think you're starting to see the doors opening now. And you know, the last one I can remember, the only one that really sticks out in my head is Hellbent, which was a really good, really well-made film. It was a gay slasher picture.
Huh.
And it had characters in it that you really cared about. It, you know, and as much as I love the Friday the 13th films, I always say these victims are just ciphers. They're just zeros. They're
right.
Just people who are in there to get killed in an amusing way or in some kind of shocking way, and that's it. You don't really care about them. But in a movie like Hellbent, you actually did care about these people. When the killer was stalking them, I was like, for the first time in I don't know how long, I was like, no, don't kill him.
Don't
I like
kill
him.
Them.
And I was trying to do the same thing with bite marks, was create characters that you really liked and cared about so that when they're in danger, you really feel for them. And yes, I don't think there are a lot of movies out there that have that. Now, if a horror movie has a gay character, up until this point, they were usually someone who's very stereotypical or just like a toss-off character. I mean, I think I saw it was, I want to say Bride of Chucky that had a gay character in it, and he really didn't add much to the movie, and then except to like step out into the road and get slammed by a semi-truck, and that was, you know, the end of him.
Oh.
There was nothing really else to him, but I believe there are some other movies with gay characters that are coming out. So hopefully the doors open and will open wider.
I'm pretty sure that the shark in Jaws was gay.
Do you think so?
Pretty sure.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just I read a lot about it when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think because it was a size queen because it was always looking for the bigger boat. Like how quick I was with that one.
Well, you know, it never backed off the guys until it had that phallic oxygen tank in its mouth. So,
golly.
Anyway,
and
so
I
knew you would fit this topic in some way, Mark. The topic that you wanted to go to. Now, speaking of the lead characters in this film, the lead gays, they are played by gay actors, are they not?
Yes, they are. These three leads are all played by gay characters.
Was that an intentional choice for you?
No,
okay.
I actually was just, you know, my thought was, let the best actor for the job get the part, you know, and if they're gay playing gay, great. If they're gay playing straight, okay. If they're straight playing gay, okay, too. It just turned out that way, that the actors who played those roles were gay.
Fantastic.
And it was interesting because a lot of the crew was gay, too. So I think, you know, I was telling everybody, I think, you know, we had, like, on this film, anyway, for a ratio of, like, gays to straights, it was about 50-50.
That's not normal for a movie set, is it?
No, it wasn't. And it was quite the eye-opener because we did shoot in southern Indiana.
I don't even think Indiana joined the union. No, I think we actually were big in Indiana. I shouldn't say they haven't joined the union yet. I don't want to say that. Hey, Indiana listeners, love you. So we do, Mark, we do have to talk about your song selections for this evening. Are you ready?
All right.
Are you ready to talk about your song selections?
Sure.
All right. So, Mark,
you have which psychologist online do you have?
It's actually you. This is the part of the show when you, Mark, tell our listening audience what some of these songs say about you.
Okay.
All right. So you're analyzing yourself. We're not helping at all. We already formed some opinions, so that's okay. So, but you can either disprove them or we're probably going to stick with them. But let's start with a song that kicked off this show. What does Olivia Newton-John's Xanadu say about Mark?
Xanadu, to me, says it's just, I just, first of all, I love bouncy tunes, and I think that's a really fun bouncy tune. But
okay.
Moreover than that, I just like songs that deal with, like, mystical places where everything's going to be okay. It's kind of like your own little, you're like Shangri-La, this mystical, magical place where you can go and everything's okay and you don't have to worry about anything, no problems, all your cares can be lifted, and you can just go and have fun and relax and just have a magical time someplace.
Nice. Now, I maybe shouldn't be saying this, and I'm a little nervous to say this on the air. I know every word to the song. I have never seen Xanadu.
It's probably
smart. Interesting. You know, it's like my husband works at Universal Music, and Olivia Newton-John came in one day to just to say hi and see everybody, and she took out time to do some autographs. So my husband was aware of this, so he grabbed a copy of my DVD of Xanadu and got her to autograph it.
I love that that was at the ready. That's yeah. Fantastic.
He knew she was coming, so he grabbed it, and he told her, he's like, my husband's a big fan of this movie. And she's like, oh, isn't that nice?
She's like, I was in that.
Sounds right. Just like her.
Yes. Yes, this is a great Australian accent. So now, this is very interesting, because there are a couple different levels to the next song choice. Because on the one hand, you have the actual song, but you chose a very specific interpretation of it. So You chose one of your songs, Bad Romance, the Lady Gaga Bad Romance, but you did not choose the Lady Gaga version. You chose the On the Rocks version, which is more of an a cappella glee version, correct?
Yes.
So now, I don't know how you're going to tackle this one. So as many levels as you can manage, what does the a cappella On the Rocks version of Lady Gaga's Bad Romance say about Mark Bessinger?
Well, I love the song, And I love the melody to it. But what I really like about the On the Rocks version is that, it's an all-male a cappella group, and I just love their version of it. I love their harmony. They do this great job of harmonizing the song, incorporating bits and pieces of other Lady Gaga songs into it, and it's got just a really great driving musical beat behind it. And if you ever go on YouTube and look at the video of them doing this song, you can just tell they're just having the best time with this tune, and I think it really comes across, and I really enjoy listening to their version of it as well.
I'm going to have to check that out. All right, I'm only going to make you do one more. Now, this, I failed a little bit. I'm going to tell you right off the bat, Mark, I failed, because I actually wasn't able to find the Andrew Sisters song that you wanted. I'm going to change the question a little bit, because I will play, you got to play Little Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy, which, is pretty...
Oh, that's fine. That's pretty good. That's another good one.
Pretty gay. So I'm going to change the question a little bit and say, how is Mark Bessinger like the Andrew Sisters?
I have an affinity for movies and things from the 1940s. I love old Abbott and Costello pictures, and I love the Universal Classics. And the Andrew Sisters is just a great group. It's just another, they sing really bouncy tunes, they sing harmony, and it's just their tunes just really appeal to me and make me happy.
Nice. That was good. So you did that very well.
Now, thank you.
What is coming up next for you, sir?
Well, we've got festivals coming up. The movie is playing at the Frameline Festival in San Francisco.
Fantastic.
On June 17th, and it's playing at Q-Fest in Philadelphia.
Oh.
On July 9th and 10th.
Okay.
We're showing in Film Out in San Diego in August. And then we have a gay horror film festival, believe it or not, in Dallas, Texas, coming up on June 25th, called Fears for Queers 2.
Nice.
And it'll be the closing film that night. So those festivals are all coming up. The second picture is in development right now.
What's the title?
Well, right now it's called The Old Marshall Place.
Okay.
And it's about it's a slasher film.
Okay.
About an elderly woman who lives in an isolated farmhouse. And one night during a thunderstorm, this psychotic killer who's escaped from an insane asylum,
of course,
is trying to get into her house. And she has a bedridden invalid husband, And she's got to keep the killer out. And he's trying to get in. She's got to keep him out. It's a very simple, more straightforward horror film than Bite Marks, more serious. So we're trying to do something really, really scary this time around.
So the bedridden invalid husband, he's gay.
Well, that's a plot line I'm working on
right
now.
I might suggest some title of this horror film is so gay. It's a whole brand. I'm just putting it out there. It could be really It could be really helpful.
Yeah, I have a feeling you're going to be rushing papers to the trademark office tomorrow.
I'm here to help. Now, Mark, where can folks go to learn more about all the cool things that you're doing?
Well, they can always follow me on Facebook. And or other than that, they can go to our website, which is www.blackflamingopictures.com, and black is spelled B-L-A-K-K.
I'm excited. I would see this film. I will commit to seeing Bite Marks, even though I'm not really a horror person. But I feel like you're telling me I'm not going to be super scared, right?
It's not very scary. I mean, it's really more funny than scary.
Okay.
There are a couple jump scares, and there's some blood and stuff like that. But we really went more for the comedy in it than the horror.
And boobs, but, right? There are boobs.
And boobs. Yes, okay. They went for the boobs.
I'm just checking.
A couple times.
Just trying to sell
there
the movie.
There are three boobs in it.
Who doesn't like the boobs?
Same girl.
Did you just... I'm sorry? Wait a second. Did you just say there are three boobs in the movie?
There are three boobs in the movie, not all on the same woman.
Oh, I thought you said on the same woman. I'm like, oh gosh, it's like a mutation movie too. That's. Yeah. I mean, I don't really know because I'm very gay,
there,
but
yeah.
I
maybe
feel like...
Maybe the next one.
All right.
Well, traditionally it is two.
Okay. That's good. I have to check in every now and then. It's been
yeah,
a while. Anyway, so Mark, an absolute pleasure having you on the show. I'm thrilled that, gosh, I love talking to people who are just doing such different things, and you really are doing something different. And I am getting the sense that you are breaking a ceiling. And I hope that this opens the door for so many more gay characters in horror movies.
I do, too. And I hope that it will as well.
Well, you keep making your films, and we want to talk to you when the next film comes out.
Great. Maybe I'll wear pants on that one.
Great talking to you, Mark. All the best, Mark.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks, guys.
All righty.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Oh, caught in a bad romance. Oh, caught in a bad romance. Rah, 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 rah. Roma, Roma, ma, ga, ga, ooh, la, la. Watch your bad romance. Rah, 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 rah. Roma, Roma. Your ugly, I want you to see. I want your everything as long as it's free. I want your love. Love, 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 I want your love. I want your drama, the touch of your hair. I want your leather studded kissing the sand. I want your love.
So that was On the Rocks' version of Lady Gaga's Bad Romance, as requested by tonight's guest, Mark Bessinger. He's a pistol.
He sure is.
Isn't he a pistol?
He sure is.
We'll watch that movie. Can we watch that movie together after
delighted.
We go to the Zoe Lewis musical?
Yes.
Well,
yeah.
We'll bring a computer and we'll pop
right.
in the DVD
We're going
and
to
do
Provincetown.
That. Do you have some
that's
sort
right.
of question
no.
that you want to talk about Lady Gaga?
Oh, I, you know, here.
You said during the song that you want to talk about Lady Gaga. Let's go.
I want to, there's so many things that come along musically. I'm a songwriter and a musician, and I have been for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel I have very strong opinions about music. Anybody can like what they want. I mean, I don't really care, generally. But here's my thing.
Yes.
It's like when it comes to the pop cultural icons and the pop music icons, even if it's vacuous, because vacuous has its place in, mm-hmm. in pop music for sure. And I don't mean that in the condescending way. Anyway, the point is, I get that she's got a decent voice, and I get that she's got a decent message, I suppose, but I don't get the phenomenon thing. I think she belongs in the parade, you know, she belongs on the stage, and certainly should have a following in her career, but I don't get what's so amazing here. I don't see the amazing in it, and I so crave amazing in my life.
Mm.
Help me understand.
Jen, Lady Gaga, opinion?
I don't quite get it either, but I do, I finally saw her. I'd never kind of...
Yeah.
Seen her perform. We watched Saturday Night Live and she was on.
Oh, she was quite good in any number of sketches in that
one.
The sketches, she was funny.
She was interesting. And I think that there's talent there. We tend to disagree on music. So, you know, I don't know.
Well,
but I still don't quite get the...
Phenomenon.
Yeah, I don't quite get that.
I probably would not endorse looking at Lady Gaga from a singer-songwriter perspective.
Okay, then that'll help me.
Okay,
because she's being portrayed as this as a real songmaker. Like she's a visual spectacle, and she basically has stolen Madonna's playbook and has just gone crazy
with
it.
Well, so that is the thing. So that's the piece where it makes it really difficult to talk about Lady Gaga now because
I never liked Madonna either.
Well, okay, so there you're just wrong. But that one I feel comfortable saying that even though you're sitting over there, you're in the guest chair and you're just wrong and I'm right. It's my show. But I would like to again express how wrong you just were about Madonna. But if we had had this conversation last year, I think it would be a much different conversation. I was reading somewhere that there is not one review of Lady Gaga's new album that doesn't talk about the Madonna controversy. That doesn't talk about, did she rip off Madonna and Born This Way sounds so much like Express Yourself, which I was in a gay bar in New York City about a month ago. And Born This Way came on in the gay bar, as naturally it would, because it's a gay bar. And Adam, my friend Adam, shout out to Adam, he just started singing Madonna's Express Yourself. And it really
right along with it.
Oh my gosh. The overlay is hilarious. So that part makes it a little bit difficult about the singer-songwriter. Now, the persona that she constantly is pushing the envelope and reinventing herself and is so accessible to her fans, I think makes it a different. She's interactive. Mm-hmm. She actually really is interactive.
That I can admire, sure.
Yeah.
But the reinventing yourself thing, it's not like a breakthrough in all that is art. I mean, it certainly has been a theme that's been hit on since, centuries, really. But I don't see the special in it. I know that other people do. And I appreciate that anybody pushes certain envelopes, but it almost seems sort of perfunctory from her.
It took me a while to catch on. I actually didn't catch on. But then once I did, I was pretty
cool.
Caught on.
And I stay open to it. Like, when Public Enemy came out and hip hop music happened, I thought, oh my God, a movement. There's a new movement. There's political awareness is raising and empowering, young black men and young black people. Yep. And then it became something very different over time.
Yeah. Well, and I will say Lady Gaga she's not one to rest on her laurels. And what is it? Now they just declared her, she moved ahead of Oprah on that I think it must be Forbes list of powerful, by that makes the most money celebrities.
Yeah.
But she actually does use her influence for good,
and
which
that's
is
been clear,
which is
clear,
nice. She was very vocal about Don't Ask, Don't Tell and was up there with rallies and whatnot. So,
and she says money to crises, to put places in crisis. And I, what human wouldn't? And if you're making that kind of money, you're certainly better. It's kind of my feeling. But, still, it's a model to other people to say, notice the stuff and notice the need and do what you can.
Well, now this is very interesting because you know what she calls her fans, right?
No.
They're her little monsters.
Oh.
And so it is very interesting going back to what Mark Bessinger was talking about the monsters being kind of these outcasts and being on the fringe. Mm-hmm. That is part of Lady Gaga's appeal, that she is on the fringe. She is kind of this outcast making billions. So there, the gay appeal. But then I can, I can't remember where I wrote it, where I read there on another one of the blogs, there was a very anti-Lady Gaga from the gaze of saying, why are we adopting Lady Gaga? So to be fair, there certainly is as much pushback from the gay community as there is from the straight community, as there is for her in both communities.
It sort of cartoonifies things, if I can make up a word, and I get, shocking, I get visually shocking, and I get pushing envelopes and so forth. But, there's got to be an originality that doesn't require shock. There's got to be an originality, particularly, if it's going to be embraced by the gay community and we're being amorphous and talking about the entire gay community.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I would think, too, after years and years and decades of evolution, evolving, that there'd be something that is beautiful and amazing in its subtlety. That it's beautiful and amazing in its sophistication and power.
No, she wore a meat dress.
I know. It's like, light your feet on fire and dance about.
I don't think that Lady Gaga, I mean, I haven't talked to her in a few days, but I don't think that she would say that she's about subtlety.
Yeah.
It's really about, whoa, is that meat? Did she just come out of an egg?
See, I'm a huge fan of pop music, and I mean that like in the Beatles sense and the Elvis sense and the like. What is this phenomenon of pop music? It's a thing that can change culture in a 3-minute tune, and there's been good and bad and all the in betweens. Yeah. But I've been waiting for the next act to come along to take up a certain mantle, and I don't even know what that mantle is or who left it. But to say like now we're going in this, like Radiohead to me is a fantastic pop band that's really pushing envelopes politically and otherwise. And doesn't have to be about spectacle and about falsities.
It's interesting, and this is where this could go really off the rails, and I'm nervous you're just going to turn off the soundboard. But what pop music would you say you grew up? So formative teen years, what was the
See, that's
pop
dangerous.
Music? I know it is.
Because I have in my DNA some of the worst music ever made, you know, and I know this to be in the early to mid 70s was when I was becoming awake to music, and the Beatles was and still is pretty much everything in terms of like my template. But then coming up through the 70s, music got so freaking awful. I mean, I was listening to top 40 radio, and then it became so corporatized and right. music became so genericized that I retreated to obscure things from the 60s. And then the punk movement came along. And it started to offer something that wasn't as polished, wasn't as slick. I wanted something that was real. Yeah. And that was hard to come by.
Let me say this, and hopefully this will maybe encapsulate this a little bit better. The music, Madonna, Lady Gaga, this music did not exist circa, you know, when you start in 1981, 1982 with Video Killed the Radio Star, there's no such thing now as music that isn't visual. It is paired with the visual. Mm-hmm. That wasn't a Fleetwood Mac thing. You might have read an article that Stevie Nicks was, you know, how she was dressing, and she is the witch of Rhiannon. But at the same time, this Lady Gaga and Madonna, it's you don't release a song without people saying, oh my gosh, what's the video going to be like?
Yeah.
And so a lot of it, I don't think it's even possible at this point to talk about the songwriting of
See,
it without
talking
about.
See, that's a loss. I think it's a tragedy in a
way. I think it's amazing. Yeah. But again, this is where I am of that mentality of, okay, this is a cool song. What's the video? Mm-hmm. What's the video? What do you pair that up with? So I think Lady Gaga's videos, I don't think that one should talk about Lady Gaga's music without talking about her videos, which are incredible.
And I'm sure. And with
Cinematic.
Enough budget and with enough intention.
Oh my gosh, the budget on some of these.
But I mean, there's something to be said for a tune. There's something to be said. Yeah, and I sound like my
absolutely.
Grandfather, but you know, there's something to be said for
I agree.
For notes nicely put together.
It's, you know? I think, another place where you could... it's just hilarious that this is where people are getting information about musical artists. But it really is with Glee. That Glee is devoting various episodes to certain artists. So they had a whole Lady Gaga episode, mm-hmm. and it was all about how Lady Gaga represents the outsider, and so people are learning, you know, well, that's what Lady Gaga is about. Glee recently did a whole episode just on the only music that they sang was Rumors, Fleetwood Mac's Rumors,
great record.
And so, but this is how people are being introduced, how youngins are being introduced to Fleetwood Mac's Rumors, which is one of my favorite albums of all time.
Yeah,
so
that's a good way. Well, and Ben Folds himself was involved in a lot of the early days of the a cappella movement across the country. And people have been turned on to Ben Folds' music as a result of the phenomenon that is the a cappella event across the country.
Yeah.
So And now he's got, you know, a whole slew of people who follow what he does. Yeah. I think he's a pure genius myself.
So I will tell, let's just talk about Glee real quick because it morphs into our prom story. That was fun talking about music.
It was. I love talking about music.
I love talking about music. So... Because you guys are not Glee watchers.
No.
We don't watch
so
TV.
I don't want to spoil the Glee, except I will spoil it by saying the entirety of it, that the gay character, Kurt, was one of the gay characters. They actually have a few gay characters now, which is quite lovely. He was elected prom queen and not as a nice thing.
Oh.
And it was very painful, and he had to. He ended up reconciling it in the 6 minutes that he had towards the end of the episode and going back in and taking the crown. And he said something like, take that, Kate Middleton, something like that. And and so it was a really nice moment. But there are a lot of stories right now about how gay boys are teenagers are being elected prom queens at various high schools across the country.
Mm.
Yes. So that side, it's very interesting. So there was a blog today that had the question, should gay boys be high school prom queens? And it details various different. So we have the out and proud Jake Boyer is clearly not one of those closet dwellers. In fact, the senior class secretary, I was senior class secretary. That's just what you do when you're gay. At Blacksburg High School in Blacksburg, Virginia, added another accolade to his list of accomplishments, which includes choir member and editor of the school's literary magazine. Yeah, I did that too. Now he was elected prom queen. And so they posed the question in the blog, should gay boys, gay teenagers, be elected prom queen? Now, naturally, the best part of any internet story is in the comments. That's where all the drama's going down.
Oh my God.
So here were some comments. This is so funny. almost all of them started with, I'm fully supportive of gay rights, but. So here's a couple of them. I know it's just prom and it's no big deal, but you got to feel sorry for all the girls who really wanted to be prom queen and got beat out by this kid making a mockery of the whole thing, which that's end quote. He wasn't. He was elected.
Right.
You know, so here's another one. I'm fully supportive of gay rights, but I can just imagine how many girls in the crowd were heartbroken that their dream was taken by a guy.
Yeah.
Then one more.
And they had the right to that.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. The one more quote. This is wrong. I have nothing against gay people. I just love that. But how should... But
not
how
like
should,
I'm racist or nothing, but I got...
Some of my best friends that I've seen on TV that I've never met are black. I have nothing against gay people, but how should a young woman feel being a court to the queen and the queen is a boy? Does anyone see the possible damage this could do to the egos of the young women who dreamed about their whole life to be prom queen?
Well, the damage is already done if that's their dream.
So, Jen, as the only person in this room who has been prom queen, right, I assume.
It's true.
How did you know?
I knew it. Totally was. Well, how do you feel about a gay boy being?
Oh,
I don't know why I keep correcting. So I keep saying gay boy, but for something around, there's something about saying gay boy that just feels doesn't
yeah,
feel right. So doesn't
yeah.
sound right. So a gay male teenager being yeah. elected prom queen. If they had taken your crown that you had dreamed about.
Well, at 18, I might have been upset about yeah. that. Yeah, I can see where that, but. But I think that they need their place too,
yeah.
a place, whatever if they want to be in the running, there should be a way of being in the running.
Absolutely. Cause I think what this story totally ignores is, well, what do we do with teens who identify? Now this story is not about, to be clear, this story is not about teens who identify as trans. But I do think at the heart of this, we're talking about, so how do we break out of these gender stereotypes?
Right.
Which we are
yeah.
going to have to do. We should be doing it now. But as there are more and more out transgender teens, not just talking about, you know, bathrooms and sports teams, but let's also talk about, so which prom king or prom queen are they allowed to run for? So I appreciate the dialogue with that respect of, I think at its core, we are talking about breaking out of these gender norms.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And that is, you know, that's one of the, you know, the discomfort is somewhat of the tear of the paradigm, you know,
yeah.
just changing and growing. And, you know, these are the ways that that you push against. And suddenly it's like, well, I guess we better change the whole way
right.
we do things. You know?
Right. Prom King West.
Mm-hmm. No, I never was that.
But have you ever been addressed as Prom King West? Was
no,
that
no,
a first?
No,
that's
it
very
is
exciting.
A first. And I responded like it happened all the time.
That's why we do this show. So we're okay. Brattleboro High School.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, they're it's not like now Glee, it was different. They were voting against his will and it was a cruel joke.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
in these
nice.
Cases where the gay teenager is throwing his name in and everyone is wholeheartedly voting for him. But again, they're not saying on the ballot, I support breaking out of gender stereotypes with prom king and prom queen.
Right, right.
And so that's where I guess I do struggle with this, because I think that there are people like there were on Glee who were voting, oh, well, he's a girl because he's gay. And I do have a problem with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
There's a lot of, well, there's a lot of handles and angles to come in at this.
Right.
Yeah.
And but again, that the conversation happens at all is certainly the principal positive out of it,
yeah.
I think.
And I do like to cover. I it's important to cover some trans stories, and there aren't that many trans stories in the news. But I will cover that a Texas judge has ruled that the marriage between Nikki Aragus and her late husband, a firefighter who died fighting a blaze last year. The judge declared that their marriage is null and void because Nikki is a transgender woman. She was born biologically male. The decision by State District Judge Randy Clapp strips Aragus of her husband's death benefits. That would be the effect of that.
You've got to be kidding
yeah,
me.
Yeah, this is what we have time to do. And he said that it shouldn't be granted because she was born male and Texas doesn't recognize same-sex marriage. Aragus will likely appeal, which is we support that appeal.
Wow. Texas is its own thing.
Yeah, it's its own thing. There were a couple other stories, but nothing. Statistics reveal that more U.S. states allow cousins to marry than same-sex couples.
Mm.
Just want to put that out there. I never heard that before. I know, right? Of the 50 states, 19, including California, Alaska, New York, and Florida, permit restriction-free marriages between first cousins, while only 5, Connecticut, Iowa, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and Vermont, allow people to marry someone of the same sex. So you have a, I don't even know what to do with that story. I don't know what to do with
that.
Just
provide the information. Let it land where it will.
And then I just will highlight real quick that a ton of money is now being raised in Minnesota. And I know we've covered this on both shows that you've co-hosted. A ton of money is being raised in Minnesota to address on both sides of the issue. To be fair, on both sides of the issue, for folks that are pushing for a state constitutional amendment that would ban gay marriage and folks that are fighting against that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's staggering. It's just staggering how much money is going into this.
Thank God there aren't needy people anywhere.
Yeah, I don't know. I know. Let's go on the side of, I'm not even going to go to, because we always go to that people are spending so much money to create a constitutional amendment. The fact that people, and I get that they have to, because we don't want the constitutional amendment, and unfortunately it costs money to not have the constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage, but that this is what people are spending money on, it just kills me.
Well, sometimes in political process, sometimes there are, you know, that you can drain somebody dry simply by running them through litigation or threatening to make changes. And you know, it's you know, there are well-organized groups with a lot of financing up against, you know, typical of even, say, nuclear power plants and so forth.
Right.
There's a lot of money on one side. There's a few, you know, ragtag, barely organized people doing their best with good hearts with no money. And at some point, one may exhaust the other.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like if people have money, they should be giving it to wvew.org/support to get WVEW back on the air. That actually brings us to the end of our time, folks.
It goes by quick, right?
Okay. Yeah. Hey, you guys should get in touch with us out there. And I do want to give a shout out. I love giving shout outs to people who sent in emails. Shout out to Giovanna, who sent us a lovely email with a guest idea. If you have a guest idea, that's where almost all of our guests come from, are people writing into this show is so gay at AOL.com with guest ideas. And then we pursue them. And then the guests are on the show. We harass them till they cave. That's our method. That's our method. Stroll on over to thisshowissogay.com. We have a ton of incredible upcoming guests right there on the homepage. You can, of course, learn about all of our co-hosts. We need to get you guys on the co-host page.
Okay.
Once you've done two shows, do you guys have a nice picture of the two of you that I can put up there?
We have a few nice pictures.
All right,
pictures,
nice.
Sure.
So we got to get you, if you're amenable to it, we want to get you up on the co-host page. You can listen to past shows and do other stuff on our website. Actually, I think that's mostly what you could do on our website. And of course, stroll on over to the Facebook, type in This Show Is So Gay, like us, because we sure as heck like you. Thank you both for doing this again. I love being in the studio
with you guys.
Yeah, it was fun.
We love doing this. This can't be the last one we'll do.
No, we'll do another one.
In like a month and a half, we'll do another one.
Glad to.
All right. Folks, get out there. Go watch a gay horror film. Go find out why people like Lady Gaga. Go be prom queen. We can all do it.
Yeah.
We can all do it. It doesn't matter if you're elected prom queen. Tomorrow, go into work and tell people, I'm prom queen. Just see what people say.
I have a problem with royalty, so the whole thing is just moot for me.
I'm more of a Pippa than a Kate Middleton. We can talk about that another day. But most of all, get out there, go do amazing things. And remember, above all else, why be gay when you can be
so gay?
Trumpet man from old Chicago way. He had a boogie style that no one else could play. He was the top man at his craft. But then his number came up and he was gone with the draft. He's in the army now, a blowing reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. They made him blow a bugle for his Uncle Sam. It really brought him down because he couldn't jam. The captain seemed to understand. Because the next day the cap went out and drafted a band. And now the company jumps when he plays reveille. He's the boogie-woogie bugle boy of Company B. A toot, a toot, a toot-de-lad, a toot. He blows it A to the bar. In boogie rhythm, he can't blow a note unless the bass and guitar is playing with him. He makes the company jump when he plays reveille. He's the boogie-woogie bugle boy of Company B. He was a boogie-woogie bugle boy of Company B.